Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And there's just so much going on right now. It's such an exciting time to be researching this stuff. Boy, last week's show was amazing. If you didn't get a chance to listen, the guest was Ruben Sierra. And he's a gentleman who actually lives here in Southern California, not far from where I live. And I interviewed him several times already about his UFO experiences, and he agreed to come on the show and share some of his experiences, which were really, really remarkable. They start early in his childhood, and at which time he was actually abducted multiple times, and he continued to have face-to-face visitations with gray-type ETs and apparent human-looking ETs and reptilians and just a whole variety of ETs, which continued on until he went into the military. Well, it continued throughout the military, and I'm definitely going to have him back on the show because he's got quite a story to tell. And if you didn't get a chance to catch that episode, remember the episodes are archived on the BBS website. So check it out if you get a chance. I'm sure you'll find it quite interesting. I know I did. Now, tonight we have a real treat for you. It's a really exciting subject we're discussing tonight, one that's very near and dear to my heart, actually. So I'm really, really excited. Our guest tonight, her name is Pamela Teresa Loetscher. That's L-O-E-R T-S-C-H-E-R. And she's written this amazing book about her own experiences called Guardian of Lost Souls, Lessons in Death. It's actually a true story about events that happened to a mother, her, and her two children. It tells all about the struggles of living with one foot in the physical world and another foot in the spiritual realms. And just amazing stories of humor and strange events and, you know, even scary events that happen to a person when basically you can feel, hear, and see the spaces in between. These are true stories of lost souls that are documented within the pages of this amazing book. And true life stories of people, how they died, how they lived, and most importantly, the reasons why they become earthbound spirits. Now that should prove particularly interesting, I think. Now, this book is doing quite well. It's got a number of really excellent reviews. One reviewer says, "This book is a must-read. Anyone who may be just beginning their spiritual journey is wanting to have answers or validations or is in search of helping another who has these gifts should read The Guardian of Lost Souls, Lessons in Death." Another says, "I just finished the book, and I'm not sure what to say, but wow, this says what my heart is feeling. It was amazing, an eye-opener to every one of the journeys of the lost souls, as well as the journey and life which Pamela and her children now hold." So, I mean, a number of really good reviews. So we are really, really blessed to have Pamela on the show tonight. So I want you all to welcome our guest, Pamela Teresa Loetscher, author of Guardian of Lost Souls, Lessons in Death. Pamela, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. What a beautiful intro. Awesome. I love it. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, I really am excited about having you on the show tonight because I have personal experience with this exact subject. My mom died in 1984. And, you know, Pamela, I was so skeptical of life after death and everything like this. But it was not long after she died, I saw her ghost. I didn't believe it, thought I was hallucinating, and didn't tell anybody, but started having lots of dreams and stuff and developed an interest in paranormal and picked up a book on out-of-body exploring. I tried the exercises, and I actually got really good at it after a couple of years and was able to do all kinds of things and all sorts of really amazing psychic stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so good at it now, but still every now and then, but at any rate, the story I wanted to briefly just say was there was, I kept hearing about people who rescue lost souls, and it was something I had never done. And so I popped out of my body one day, and I tried it, and I was actually able to rescue a lost soul. And a little girl who had apparently suffocated.
Beautiful work.
I'm so excited to talk to you tonight, Pamela.
I have major chills. I'm like, okay, so you totally understand when I talk about soul travel, and there's many different aspects of the lost soul work that we do. Yeah.
Right, right. I think my listeners, too, they're pretty, you know, educated on this subject, so it should be really interesting for them as well. Now, yeah, so how did this all start for you? I was skeptical, like I said. Were you growing up in an environment that was, you know, conducive to this stuff? Were you skeptical, or how was it?
I was always like this. However, I hid it, and I kept it to myself. It was, I thought I was crazy for the longest time. because as I was a sensitive child, and I would see things in the spaces in between, have communication with spirit, and it just wasn't something I was comfortable in talking with anybody about. And I'm also an empath, which I'm extremely sensitive to the energies, and I can feel, but I tell people all the time I'm uber sensitive. But it wasn't until, you can read the first chapter of my book. I have it on guardianoflostsouls.com/blog. It's Diary of a Sensitive, and it's called The Wind of Change, The Road That Traveled. And about 4 years ago, a friend of mine invited me to go to Casadega with her. I'd never had a spiritual reading, a mediumship reading. I was scared to death of any sort of horror show. I'd never listened to any EVP, didn't know what it was. And it was that day when I met Piper where she really opened the door and showed me who I was. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I finally belonged in the world in which I live, because I told her, I'm like, I see colors around people. When I am in the presence of people, I have visions. I can smell the energies. I just really thought I was crazy. And so it was after that event, I came home and talked to my family, and my two youngest children raised their hands and said, yeah, me too. We experienced this as well. And it was shortly after that, then all the doors opened, and we had a lot of lost souls come our way, and we didn't know what we were doing. So through Piper's guidance, we just basically, through communication with spirit, and I talk about this in the book, Luke, my son, he can hear very clearly, just like I'm speaking to you here, and Grandpa communicated, and also Savannah, she can see, and we joke about it, like she can count the feathers on the angels, and then me, I have the gift of feel. Now, we all have all of the gifts, but our strongest gifts are, like I just mentioned there. So as we went along, we pretty well were winging it. And we just started helping the lost souls as they came one by one. And then it really peaked where we had a tremendous amount, and we started doing group crossings. And we did this, you know, in our physical body, but I understand what you're talking about, doing the lost soul work, because I do that often, where I will do a soul travel and gather up and help in that way. But in what's written into the book here is really our one-on-one communications, and then also the group crossings. And there's many interesting stories. I didn't include all the stories. I have spiral notebooks of names and of people. I was guided by spirit to document this as we went along, and that's why I started the Diary of a Sensitive on my website, because I'm going to start putting in information of the lost souls that we helped make their transition. And so it's definitely been a journey of awakening. And also, I didn't really want to put this in a book, because I did the work, but I was still in the shadows. And Piper, spiritual medium, a beautiful soul who guided us through this, she did guide and said, look, you really need to get this out there. Tell this story. And so that's it's basically, this book here is a journaling of our experiences of the lost souls and what it's like to experience this in a way. And I'm not kidding you, there was humor, there was a horror, there were strange events and such. One lady, and she's written into the book as well, but when we told her, look, you can go home now and you can be with Jesus, because she's a slow Christian lady, she fell flat on her face. She fainted. And it just surprised us all. We were like, oh, my gosh, she's an earth god spirit, and she fainted. But she literally did.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, yes.
Well, they're just people, after all. I mean, right?
That's right. They're real.
Uh-huh. I mean, some people are like, terrified of ghosts. And I would tell them, well, you know, they're, by and large, just people, you know? They may be
emotionally
a problem.
I tell people all the time, the only difference between them and us is the skin. That's the only difference. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, it's fascinating to me that this all opened up to you after visiting somebody. Because I've heard that story many times from other people, just a visitor medium. You know, and it's funny, Pamela, in my own case, my sister-in-law actually went to see a psychic who was really good. And she asked about me, and, you know, I wasn't even there. And she says, well, what do you see from my brother-in-law, Preston? And she said, you know, he would be really good at out-of-body travel.
Mm.
And we just thought that was really funny at the time because, you know, I wasn't doing it. But it was like shortly after that, it all kind of just opened up for me.
It is the way, that's the way spirit works, though. It's organized chaos. Seriously, it is.
Well, so when you went and visited Piper, and did she work with you for, I mean, from that point on?
No, not really. I met with her, and things started opening very quickly with Luke and Savannah. And then I'm like, okay, oh my gosh, I've got to go see her. And so just one morning, we just got in the car, and we live about 2 hours away from Casadega. I live in Jacksonville, and Casadega is kind of right around the Orlando area. And I just took a big leap, and by the grace of God, we did connect with her, and I did write this within the pages of the book of the interesting journey of getting there and speaking with her. And then, because I didn't know what was going on, I thought it was crazy, and then after I came home from the reading, I'm like, okay, now I'm bringing my family with me. I'm bringing my family nuts too, you know? And so she helped to explain what, sensitive children and how I could, how to keep grounded, and she talked about, setting boundaries and limits. And how we could help, you know, ask spirit for help and such. And then it was not very long after the meet with the three of us where the lost souls really came in force. And Grandpa explained to Luke that what this is called a migration. Huh. And it's very rare, but yet it does happen to people like us, to where it is organized, and the lost souls, see, we don't go and seek it. They're brought to us, and it's like they're handpicked in a way to where it's the right vibrational current where we can work with the lost soul that come to us. There's much that goes on in the spaces in between, and I speak of this in the book. And so we have a pretty good record. There was just one guy we had to turn away because Luke, he doesn't get scared. Well, I did one time, actually, right after this happened, I reached out to Dorian Virtue and actually got on her radio show, and she said that he is an avatar. Well, it's funny because I don't even know what an avatar was. So I'm kind of an idiot when it comes to spiritual knowledge. So I had to look that up after she told me, but it makes sense because he never had that fear. It was very natural and normal. And it did seem to flow that way for all of us as well, even though it was like we were in the twilight zone, but our souls kicked in. We knew what to do. But there was this one man who came. He was brought to us, and I think it was to teach Luke a little bit about what it's like to be an empath. And he felt this man's energy, and we did have to remove him because Luke really plugged into him. And but I did find out later that he was taken to somebody else, and he did make his transition home. I just pretty much gave him the spiel, hey, you're dead but not dead, go to the light, it's heaven, and okay, now remove him from our space. And that's something I teach throughout this book. People, we can stand in our own power. We do have free will. We're not victims at all. It's just really about what you want to experience. And me, I choose, I don't like it when things move around the house. So I've had nice communications with angel masters and guides. I don't like things moving around, so keep it still.
Well, have you had any problems with that at all then?
Oh, every now and again, yes. But I also know how to identify the difference between earthbound energy, angels, masters, guides, and my kinetic energy. My whole life, light bulbs, anything electric, I just have always had problems with. I've crashed computers so much, and I didn't understand it was the kinetic energy. So what I try to teach people, it's not always that there's an earthbound spirit in your presence. It is your kinetic energy sometimes that will move things around or blow the light bulbs. So as a sensitive, it's up to us to really learn how to identify what is what in the spaces in between. And we do that through our gift of feel. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, so now, when these spirits come, do you actually physically see them, or is this all like, I mean, how does it all happen?
Well, I don't like to see. And this is one thing I do teach in my book, that it is, it's like I can see in the space in between, but I try to really focus on the things that are solid, such as a doorknob, and I use that analogy in the book. You know, we know the doorknob is there, but we don't really have that conscious awareness all the time, even when we touch the doorknob to open the door. It's through spiritual sight. People have this misunderstanding. They think that we're going to see through our physical eyes. We see spirit through our spiritual sight. And, you know, for the longest time, I thought I was seeing it through my physical eyes. But once I learned how to really control my gift of sight, that I could shut it off. The worst time for me, though, is when I'm watching TV because I'm very relaxed. I'm watching TV, and then I forget, and then all of a sudden things start moving around, and I'm like, oh, I don't really like that all that much.
Interesting. Wow.
So, yes, and to answer your question, we do see, but it's not so much like, it's seeing in the energy, so we can see, it's so much like when you have a thought of a past event and you have that vision and you see it. It's a lot like that as well. So, just like, did you get a chance to listen to my EVP?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, that kind of freaked us out because when you hear in the spaces in between, it doesn't sound like what it sounds like on the tapes. It sounds not scary like that, you see. And so when we heard that, it was quite shocking to us when we heard that. So it doesn't sound like what it sounds on the tape. The tape, I can see why people would say, wow, that's scary. So you can listen to that EVP on my website, guardingthelostsouls.com. I have it posted there.
So what do you think about EVP? I mean, because I've talked to a lot of people who've done research with it, and some people say that they get like cursing and stuff like this, and just anybody can come through.
Well, in our case, when you listen to that, this is a lady who had died in a fire, and she did not have the awareness that she had died. And so she was still experiencing that dying in the fire, and so she couldn't breathe. And you could hear the gasping. And then when we told her, look, you know, we just need to cross you over, you could hear her gasp in the background. And okay, somebody unplugged in. I need to. I'm an empath. Somebody who's listening has serious shoulder pain. Oh, gosh. Somebody out there has got a serious shoulder injury. It's the right shoulder. And I'm like, okay. somebody out there is going, whoa. Yes. Whatever I think about EVP, all I know is that when this started happening, Piper told us, she told me, go ahead and put a tape recorder on and Spirit will leave you messages. And I thought that it was going to be like the angels, masters, and guys going to leave us some pretty messages. I had no idea. And so we were out on the back porch, and we live on a lake, and we found that the energies were just too intense on the inside of the house. So we went outside and started talking to the lost souls and helped them make the transition. And we got hungry, and also Sven and I found that, you know, we were having a hard time breathing, and so we wanted to go check out who was inside and what was wrong. And I went into the kitchen, and I had the tape recorder on the bar, and that was the first time I stopped it and hit rewind. And that's when we actually heard it. And then you can hear me turning it back on. I'm like, you know, please leave nice, loving messages, because it shocked us. We'd never heard that before, and that's not how it hear. That's not how you hear through spirit as a sensitive or psychic or medium, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't sound like that. And so that was really, I have like 7 tapes that I haven't listened to. That's pretty much the only one I've listened to.
Oh, wow.
It just happened to be, and so she's written into the book. I'm pretty sure we probably have quite a bit of EVP, but it's just a regular old cheap Walmart tape recorder, and we just hit record. And, you know, another fascinating thing I found that when I did upload it onto the audio file, just the regular Windows, my husband David was looking over my shoulder, and he noticed that when you upload a file, it'll show like a line when you do an audio file, and so if somebody talks, it'll like bubble up. And when the woman, it stayed flatline, the spirit, it stayed flatline, but on our voices, it bubbled up. So that was fascinating. But I'm really dumb. I'm not an expert on EVP. That's pretty much what I have is what I've recorded here during the events of the time here that are written into this book here.
Right.
So
it's fascinating stuff. It's kind of interesting. I think it's probably going to develop quickly and
uh-huh.
into, you know, a technology where people can communicate more readily with the other side, so to speak.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty exciting stuff. So now, how do people become lost souls? Because that's something, you know, even though I've done a lot of research on it, it's, I just can't imagine that someone wouldn't realize that they have died. I mean, how could they not know?
It's just as vast as there are many people. There's many different reasons. There are some lost souls or phantom spirits. They do have that awareness, and they're just not ready to go. There's people in that category. They're earthbound before they die.
Right.
Then you have those. Yes, they are. I mean, so many of us are. Absolutely,
they're bound to the earth. They're bound to their cars. They're bound to their homes. They're bound to their monies and finances.
You know, it's that they don't. So many people are so into the physical aspect that they don't remember that they're a soul in a body. And so sometimes people feel like this is the way it is after death. And then there are those who, and see, it's all about free will. You're not going to be forced to go anywhere. If you choose to stay on the earth plane once you make, you know, your exit from your physical body, there's not going to be anybody pushing you here nor there. There's those who die suddenly and they don't have that awareness, just like the lady, I can't breathe. I also had a chapter, I think it's 7. It's so funny, I wrote this book, but I know you're an author. You've written lots of books too. Sometimes you're like, hey, what was in that chapter? Chapter 7, My Lady Missing But Not Lost. She was murdered. And her son was taken. She was murdered for her son.
it was like a random act, only it really wasn't. And they took her baby, and she was brought to me or came to me. She wouldn't make her transition until I documented it. She wanted somebody to know the story of her death, and she wants her child to be rescued. But I said, look, you know, I'm not a detective, but pretty much you just, it's time for you to go home now, and then you can do what you can to help your son from the other side. So there's many different reasons why. There are some who feel like they're afraid to make their transition because they think they're going to burn in hell. So there's a million and trillion, there's so many different reasons why one would choose to stay or, like I said, or not even have the awareness, because they're still in that moment of, like, the I Can't Breathe lady, she was still in that moment of trying to get out of her house. It's just, but she, we're never left alone. There's always help. And that's the beautiful thing of it. I kind of giggle because there's a lot of humor that goes on behind the scenes and the spaces in between with the angels, masters, and guides and those who do help. And just because somebody leaves their physical body and decides to stay on the earth plane, that doesn't mean that those who are in place to help you through your life, they don't abandon you. They're still there. And so that is, much of the work is done even before they're brought to us. So everybody in their own time, basically. Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. And tonight, our guest, her name is Pamela Teresa Loitscher. That's Loitscher. And we're talking about her amazing book, Guardian of Lost Souls, Lessons in Death. Very interesting stuff about communicating with spirits and rescuing lost souls and bringing them to the other side. I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show, so if you would like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to share a story, if you have a question for our guest or comment, give us a call. I'll give you the toll-free number right now. It's 888-228-4494. There's also an international number there on the website if you are international. It's also toll-free, but I'll give out this one more time for people within the United States, and that is 888-228-4494. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Pamela, when you're doing this work, have you ever been able to, like, verify the identity of any of these people, or is that something you've pursued? Because, I mean, you've got a lot of people coming from your living room there, huh?
Yes. Well, that's true. I'm just waiting for it to happen. Pretty much I put it in the book, and I know that people will... I'm coming out of the closet. I'm trying to promote. I've been a little bit slow with this, but I do know that people will be coming to me and saying, you know, that was my dad, that was my sister, that was my brother. And really bring, because a lot of what they told us, it will validate who the person was, because little things like their hobbies or how they died, where they died, where they were born. But more importantly, the little things of the favorite sugar cookie, or, you know, those little messages there that that will bring that validation. So I allow spirit to flow through in the way it is. I know that it will be happening. I'm just kind of waiting to see how it flows.
I remember in my experience, you know, I'm like, I want to try this, because it seemed like, you know, I've read a lot of these books where a lot of other people have done it as well, and it seemed like something very rewarding to try. And I called out, and somebody led me to this child, I tried to get her attention, and the only way I was able to is finally telling her, do you want to see your mom? Would you like to see your mom? And she said yes. and I took her by the hand, and we flew upwards and to, I guess you'd call it the other side, because we kind of hit a barrier, and that's when she let go of my hand. But it's just such a rewarding experience. It was so rewarding. I felt like, wow, you know, I'm doing some real good. So I would imagine, I mean, in your own family, you're doing with your kids, and what about your, like, friends and your husband? Is he involved in all this?
Or? No, and we just kind of do it. Let me tell you why we started doing it. That was the only way we could figure out how to get rid of them.
Oh, wow.
Seriously, when they came in, and they'd always been around, but I tell you, the door's open. And so it was a quick fix. It was like, okay. And for the longest time, while this was happening, we really did it just to get them out of our house. And, so it's told through the story, and I've learned how to create boundaries and limits, and I think that was part of the time of our life of really understanding that and doing that work and helping the lost souls. They do come in every now and again, and we know what to do. It's really transitioned into, and Piper did guide. She said, I went back to her and I said, okay, what the heck am I doing wrong? I cannot get rid of them. They still keep coming in. And she said, well, part of your life's purpose is to write this and to educate people about this. And I'm sorry to tell you, but unless you document this and get this out there, that's pretty much going to be where you sit. I mean, you need to start making that move. And so then you can move in the direction of teaching and helping people, and it will lighten up once you do that. And so that's really the only reason why I wrote the book. You mean to tell me that I won't have so many lost souls in my presence if I write this book, the message out there, and help others? Yes! And I'm like, okay, here we go. Published. Here we go. I'm published.
That is really, really funny. Well, how are all these souls finding you? Are they being led to you, or are they finding you?
Yes. Oh, let me tell you, one of the things that just ticked me off the most was when we learned about the white light of the Holy Spirit calling them in, calling the angels, masters, and guides, which they were in, but we started calling them in force. And then we noticed that the souls just kept coming in, and one of the lost souls said, we were drawn to the light of the house. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you mean tell me... by calling in all this energy, the angels, masters, and guides, I'm drawing them to me all the more. And so it's complex. We don't search for them. They really are guided to us and brought to us through the angels, masters, and guides, our guardian angels, their angels, masters, and guides. And there's a lot of work that goes on in the spaces in between.
Well, you know, that makes me wonder what your house looks like from the spiritual realm, from that perspective. You know, how bright is the light, you know?
Yes, I can tell you, because we have a very high ceiling. And when you walk into our front door, and if you look back, it almost looks like you walk into a church. For a while, some of the lost souls, they thought they were being brought into a church. And I'm like... So much happened between the time when we moved into this house. We live on a lake. There's oak trees and pine trees. And Grandpa told Luke, you know, there was a lot that went on in bringing y'all and guiding you to this house. This was where you needed to be to do this work. And so once it was put in that perspective, because, you know, water takes in negative energies and it clears the energies around, and that's why we needed to be on the water. We had a fish tank, a big fish tank, and it had a lot of beautiful fish, and so many lost souls walked through it. All of our fish died. It just shocked them. It did. It just shocked them. And so that was kind of sad. I couldn't take it anymore, so I got rid of it. But
Wow. That's amazing. Well, here, let me ask you this, Pamela, because this is something I've had a number of people tell me, that they have to be careful when they go past graveyards where there's a funeral taking place, or hospitals, or even car accidents, you know, because souls will gravitate to them.
Yes, they're hitchhikers. That's what I call them.
Oh, what did you call them?
I call them hitchhikers. Yes, I do. I think graveyards, and my entire life I've thought they're beautiful. They're a sacred ground. They've never scared me. You know, there's a lot of lost soul. There's fans in the grocery store, grocery shopping, sitting on park benches. Almost any park bench, I swear, there is an earthbound spirit you will see. And there was a time, it's so interesting you bring this up, where, I'll tell you, when I stopped, they don't like crossing over when you're going 55 miles an hour. So, you know, I'd stop at a red light or a stop sign and I'd say, you know, go through the light real quick here now. And, but like I said, we learned how to set boundaries and limits and really work with the angels, masters, and guides. And this is where Piper taught us. You need to set limitations here. And because if you're helping so much, they're going to let you help as much as you want to help. So you have to say, okay, I will help on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Bring them to me then. Otherwise, keep my space clear.
Wow.
And so we learned how to do that. But before that, oh, boy, we were picking them up everywhere.
So when a spirit comes in, I mean, how do they react? Are they confused? Are they crying? Or are they happy once they find out what's happening to them, that they've died?
Well, sometimes I've had, this just comes to mind right now, I've had several guys who actually thought that I was like their wife. And so they'd come up and smack me on the butt or something, and I would say, hey, wait a minute. And I would bring them into the reality of where we are now and say, look, you know what, you're dead, but you're not dead. And sometimes they just follow us around because we look familiar or they feel comfortable. Sometimes they actually think, we had an experience with Luke and Savannah one night where there was a guy that came here that he actually thought this was his home. And there was another lady who he was chasing around. And I was in my bed, and Luke came in and said, Mom, there's a guy yelling at me. So I said, well, just come lay down, and we'll take care of it in the morning. And then a little while later, Savannah came in the room, too, and said, there's a guy chasing a lady around, telling him, well, the guy was yelling at Luke and said, get out of my house. And then he was also yelling at the other earthbound lady. He was chasing her around the house, get out of my house. And she was screaming. And finally, I rounded them up and brought him into my room. I said, look, this is my house. And so I've snapped him out of the earthbound dream state. And so I demanded, like, you can do one of two things. You can go home, but you are leaving my house. And so this book really teaches people how to stand in their powers, and that our free will, and this is our personal space. You know, if you're in a public space, that's neutral territory. Also, if you move into a home where that was, say, the lost soul's home, you really need to learn how to help them go home because they were there first. So there's a lot to know. It's definitely, I can see why this book needed to be written, because there's a lot of confusion in the where people are experiencing this, and so this book will provide the answers, will help them. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Well, certainly getting some great reviews, which is, you know, always good to hear.
Yes.
It's very interesting. So let me see. Now, when people are crossing over, I mean, is there like a, have you had any evidence, I should say, of a hell-like realm? Or, you know, do people always cross over to a higher vibration, I guess, is one.
Well, the hell-like realm is the earthbound state, or the physical realms. It really depends on where you are, your state of mind, when you leave your physical body. You can create whatever manifestation and whatever experience you want to create. I actually did, through soul travel, help a lost soul who thought he was a demon. And he did some very horrible things. And so he created the manifestation that he was a demon. And but I have that gift where I can see the true soul and the spark of the divine. And so through talking with him, he did make the transformation. He did
it really changed right before my eyes. He had, when I first saw him, that red face, that demon-y look, you know. But right. Through my gift of feel, it didn't scare me. I knew who he was. Once he came to that awareness that, okay, all right, but I did hear, what I really teach people, the lost souls, is, you know, what we do here on the earth, we are here for lessons, we are here for contrast. So go home and take a review, check it out, see what, see how you need to make improvements. Where you are in your vibrational, knowing is where you wind up on the other side. So, there's different levels of awareness, if you will. If you want to experience a health state, yeah, you will. It's just, it's all in where you are in your, awareness.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which would explain, you know, the stories that people have of going to, you know, hellish realms.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly
mm-hmm.
real to them. Right?
That's right. That's right. But it is not necessary to remain. We put ourselves where we are. That is the free will element. Wherever we are, that's where we put ourselves. And it's through our power of thought, which is real.
Right.
So pretty much we've seen different colors, different doors, different colors.
What about like on non-human spirits or like animal spirits is there such a thing as demons?
Not in my experience. But you know, thought forms are created by people. So when people create these thought forms, they can be extinguished through the white light of the Holy Spirit. So if people create the manifestation of, you know, a thought form of, you know, a demon animal or something, you can really remove it.
Okay.
All things that are not real can be removed with that white light, with the beauty, with that, the spark of the divine. And but thought forms are real. People create them all the time. And you know, as an empath, I'm very well aware of this. And so that's why I work a lot with the white light. Hence the term light worker, which I think a lot of people are kind of confused as to what that is. Really, indeed, we work with light. It is energy, it is power, and we have that ability to bring it forth. So, yes, there are many different manifestations. Mm-hmm.
Well, as far as animals, what about animal spirits?
All the time. I work with animal spirit guides quite a bit. They're the transmitter of healing energies. Animal spirits and also animal spirit guides and animals in the physical, all of the above.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was once out of my body, and you know, I normally don't see a spirit guide around me or anybody. I'm there out myself as far as I can tell. But I heard that there's, if you look behind you while doing this soul travel stuff, you'll find your spirit guide. And so I remembered it when I was out of body, and I whipped around as fast as I could, and I saw a coyote.
I was going to say fox. I see fox around you, too.
It could have been a fox, as far, you know, as well, because he was quite darting around there quite a bit. So,
I saw fox, red fox.
Interesting. I just thought, wow, you know, that there's my spirit guide, I guess.
You have many spirit guides. Yes, we all have angels, masters, and guides. We all have, when you figure, let's look at the eternal soul. And so, however many lives that you've had, you carry with you all of that to the now and in all directions of time. So it is vast. We have everything we could ever want. If you want elephant to be your spirit guide, you call an animal spirit guide elephant. Elephant will be there for you. It is really about the free will and what you choose and standing in your power, your spiritual power, and knowing that you can have anything you want. It has to do with your spiritual awareness and your vibrational current and how far advanced you are in the knowledge, and that's what you can bring forth to yourself. So let's just say somebody who's lived maybe two lifetimes, they may not be able to grasp how to bring forth the light and how to work with the angel masters and guides and how. So much of what I talk about here might really be over their head, and they may not be able to meet it for another couple of lifetimes. We're not better than anybody else. It's just, you know, growth.
Most people in my family are like that. They're just not interested. You know, I mean,
they
don't ridicule me anymore. You know, but they're skeptical and not interested. And so I guess it's like you say, the flower will bloom when it's time.
Yes, and it will. It really will. Everybody will evolve. Everybody will move forward because it's always going to be progression. It really is. That's the nature of the soul. It's the nature of all. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what can people do if they want to become, you know, more involved in this kind of stuff?
Well, I would say to go to plug my sensitive lessons. I've developed a psychic development course. It's sensitive.ning.com, and it is called Sensitive Lessons, Feel, Hear, See. And I teach that the foundation of our spiritual gift is the gift of feel. And it's through the gift of feel that we really and truly open up our... Everybody possesses these gifts. We're all a soul and a body. Everybody has the capabilities of feel, hear, see. It's just in if they would like to develop it. It's up to, you know, like you say, you know, sometimes people are interested, sometimes they're not. So I would say start with, there's plenty of spiritual texts out there. There's tons of spiritual teachers out there. And just go with what feels good for you. What works for me may not work for you, but something will work.
I would hope so. I mean, it seems to me there's a whole explosion of interest in this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the work you're doing, it's so badly needed right now. Now, would you say that, I mean, when you're doing these work with lost souls, are they from individual events or like, you know, like the 9/11?
The first guy in the migration, the first guy, he was actually 9/11.
Oh, really?
And I have him written down. Yes. That really kind of woke us up because... It's funny, when it started coming and happening, the energies were so intense in the house that the three of us started fighting. And then Luke said, "Look, you know, there's a guy in the bathroom here. In the bathroom, he died in 9/11." So that kind of brought us back into the seriousness of, "Okay, we got to help this guy." But there's just, do you know how many interesting ways that people can die? It's just so fascinating. It is. I don't mean to make light of it, but there's a gazillion different ways people die. We learned that through the work with the lost souls. But people don't die. They transition. They, you know, it's just simply as walking through, opening a door and walking into another room. There is no death.
Right. Dying is definitely the wrong word. And, you know, I think what's really amazing about the transition is as bad as it might seem to be, and people certainly can suffer before it happens. To the person who is crossing over, I mean, for me, being on the other side, and you know, my mom gave me a tour, I guess you'd call it the heavenly realms.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, Pamela, that's the most beautiful place I've ever been.
Mm-hmm. I know.
it's hard
for me to stay here, and because I do so much work between the two worlds, I'm like, why the heck are people afraid to die? This is hell. We're going home, you know. The colors, the smell, everything is beautiful. Now, we do need to be here. We have a purpose. This is where we grow our soul, so I respect that. This is the work we do here to expand our awareness. This is important. So I don't make light of that. Mm-mm.
No, I mean...
But the other side is beautiful.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the other side, but I'm not in any rush to get there. I think you're absolutely right. So Is that what's come across in your work with lost souls? Is that, I mean, life does have a purpose. We're not just thrown out here for no reason.
Life has a purpose, and it's our choice. We come here to experience the contrast. There's a lot of people who put a lot of judgment on, let's just say, other people who may do bad things. But it's through those who do horrible things that we receive the contrast and understanding. Why else would we come here? You know, because we'd stay there. So So we come here. Life is really like a game in a way, and that's how we look at it from the other side. This is a game to really experience struggle, experience heartache, experience all the different emotions, and we really want to be here. We want this experience, yet when we're here, we forget. And so much of what's being brought forth now is to offer the remembering of, because there has become this imbalance, and that so many people are living, and that's why there are so many lost souls and so many earthbound people. People forget that they're a soul in the body. So many people are into the physical. It's just that car. I got to get that car. I love the car and I love the house. We are in the physical, but it becomes attached. People become attached to their physical lives and they forget. They look in the mirror. They don't see the soul. They don't. They see the makeup. They see the hair. But they forget to look in their eyes and see the depth and the beauty of eternity.
Mm-hmm. Well, all the stuff, all the physical stuff in the world is not going to make people happy, I don't think.
And you ain't taking it with you.
That's for sure. No, your children, you're all still doing this, and how old are they? Do they talk about it with their friends and stuff like that?
No, we don't talk about this with our friends, and we pretty much try to keep a normal life, and that's why I say this was a struggle to bring this out. They have your regular child life-like. My son Luke, he's volunteering at the zoo. He's really into animals. Savannah, she's so much into horses. She does horse riding lessons and has done some dressage events and such. And they play with the neighborhood kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they do like regular old kids. We love them, like to go fishing and catch the frogs and do all that stuff. But they are highly evolved souls. They have this understanding and this awareness of what is real. And they like to live in this.
What a wonderful thing for them to have you as a mother who understands them, you know? 'Cause a lot of children don't have that.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a really wonderful thing. Well, we're right approaching the end of the show, Pamela, but we still have another minute or two if you want to tell our listeners anything you think they need to know and give out the name of your website again so people can contact you if they'd like. And
go to guardianoflostsouls.com, and you'll see there I provided a link for the Diary of the Sensitive. And then also I have sensitive.ning.com, and which I've created last week. I call it Sensitive Awareness Network, and people can just join in, and it's like a community, a social network community. Also, I have sensitive.ning.com, and sensitivelessons.ning.com, where I have the development course, and people can sign up for that as well. So I'm also working on several other books. The Guardian of Lost Souls is a trilogy, so there's two other books that goes with it, but I'll post that on the website.
Awesome. Well, Pamela, it was great. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's very, very interesting stuff, just really cool.
Thank you, and I just appreciate you having me tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure, believe me. Just fascinated by this stuff, and I want to thank you for doing this really important work. It's just so important. People have no idea.
You're welcome. I'm just a regular old girl, seriously. That's all I am.
Well, thanks again. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you, too. You have a beautiful evening.
Thank you. Well, everyone, that's our show for tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. And tonight, our guest has been Pamela Teresa Loetscher. Loetscher. Pamela Loetscher. She's written this book, which you absolutely must go out and buy right now. It's called Guardian of Lost Souls, Lessons in Death. It's a breath of spiritual fresh air. You'll love it. Think about, and if if you want to see her website, it's www.guardianoflostsouls.com. Lots of fun stuff there. Very interesting. Thanks all for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I can. And please join us next week when we bring on another exciting guest on UFOs and the Paranormal on the BBS Network. Until then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.